Well, good afternoon. It's about 33 minutes past the hour of 12 o'clock. You're listening to KFSK Petersburg. This is Hannah Flohr, and we are here with Sarah Holmgren and Erica Klutpainter for Campus Connection. Talk about things that are on the agenda for the school board meeting tonight. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
So I want to start off. One of the main items on the agenda is the review of the revised 2024 budget. Shannon Barrett is going to be presenting that to the board. I'm curious why the district ended up under budgeting this year.
Well, we could talk about that.
Kind of think we do it every year.
We do.
It's been super conservative for decades, as I would argue. I guess because of we don't want to be in the red, if at all possible. So we, I mean, one year we were, after the school year got started, because we had funding restored from the, or, you know, another one-time funding thing from the state, yeah. We were restored the, I think it was actually just last year, the activities mm-hmm. budget back to what was actually spent the previous year. We had, like, cut it way back. And then you get this funding in the middle of summer where you don't know it's coming or not, and then you just, I think we always budget with the worst case assumption.
So you are making your budget before you have the information mm-hmm. about how much money you're going to be getting from the state, which seems like it must be awfully difficult for all mm-hmm. the school districts around the state. But so it makes sense to under budget because, you just don't know what's coming. And then you can sort of add things back in after the fact.
And that's exactly what we're trying or planning on doing this year is adding back things. Not only that we had have cut years ago or even have seen the needs change, mm-hmm. but we're talking about putting things into place that are desperately needed at the district that we've kind of, I think all, I don't want to use the word ignored, but just put on the back burner because we didn't think we could afford to do it. And then staff take on different projects and mm-hmm. extra duties that traditionally were done by other staff members. But as people quit or retired, we didn't replace them. Just that constant literal rainy day mm-hmm. situation. It is super frustrating after 15 years of trying to advocate at the state level to say forward, you know, board members as well as staff and superintendents and anybody who's dialed into it have been saying till they're blue in the faces, forward fund, so that we don't have these unknowns, mm-hmm. that we know what we're getting.
Does that mean that they would decide for the uh-huh. for the coming year as opposed
Correct.
To the current year?
Yeah, they would just, in theory, should decide in March or April what districts would get for mm-hmm. the following calendar fiscal year, but we mm-hmm. don't know until June, July.
Yeah,
sometimes. So it's just it's almost like we might give you a raise, we might not, and you're going to have to wait to find mm-hmm. out, and then trying to budget that way is.
Yeah.
So there's always revisions.
Yeah.
Though that's never ending, whether things, you know, even I think back to the year the volleyball team got stuck in Sitka because there was no ferry, I think is what mm-hmm. it was. It got mm-hmm. broke down and then they were there for four extra days. You had four extra days of hotels at the time and then flying them home. So you get weird things like that happening mm-hmm. through the year that you have to make adjustments to. But mostly it's the total unknown of what the state will give us.
Okay. Well, and that unexpected expense leads me to a question about, you know, so Finance Director Shannon Baird is recommending the district carry forward the money that's not been allocated in the budget as sort of the beginning balance for next year as part of the fund balance. And she was telling me, and she gave me a lot of good education yesterday about this. She was saying that fund balance is often used during the year for unexpected expenses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had years where the oil bill was, well, a couple winters ago
oh
when we
gosh.
Had that atrocious winter
year,
that we were
yeah.
all still kind of dealing with.
Terrible.
And even last year,
yep.
it was double mm-hmm. what had mm-hmm. been the previous year. Mm-hmm. So you can't predict that. Mm-mm.
So then, you know, you under budgeted and that sounds like you then have extra money, but it is that extra money something that, Erica, you're shaking your head?
Well, I'm just saying, no, go ahead. Finish your question.
Oh, I was just going to ask, does that mean that you have extra money sort of lying around or is that then going to be put to use in some other way?
I think that's what, I don't think that's what happens when you do have a revision like this. And mm-hmm. I think the important thing to also keep in mind with this is A budget is a budget. We forward fund all kinds of things. Grants, like we get reimbursements for all the grants that we have, but we fund those. We don't get reimbursed for those until 3 months. Every 3 months, you get another reimbursement.
So you have to have the money to pay for the thing, and then you get reimbursed later.
Mm-hmm. So that's one example, you know, of kind of one of those things. Like, it's not like a cash balance in a bank, like a savings account in that sense. So I think that's important. I think the other thing that's important to remember is that the board adopted the budget in June with a carrying forward like a 3.5% fund balance, which is we don't ever do that.
And that's very low.
And we knew that there would probably, well, we 98% were
expected,
sure that there would be some sort of boost in funding, whether in the BSA or a one-time fund, but we did not budget it. So like they adopted it with a 3.5% fund balance, which is unheard of. That's about a week and a half operating costs.
Right. My understanding is that about 10% will pay for a month of operation at the school.
Right. And that's also like no business runs like that, right? Like the borough does like 6 to 12 months, you know, like no business runs
I think we're the only aren't we the only public entity in the state that, not Petersburg, but school districts that are held to that. Mm-hmm. Like they're capped at 10%. It's like, even if you can afford
because
to do
this...
it, because you have a mild winter, let's say.
Right.
Where hardly any snow and it's just warmer. You can't keep more than 10%.
Because there's a state statute that says you can only put 10% aside.
Yeah.
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 It's insane.
It's very interesting.
Do we have one more year though? There was a moratorium on it during COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think 2025 is when that expires.
This next year. So. And that's why even looking at carrying forward, that it'll end up proposing tonight for the board's consideration to carry forward really more like 13.1%.
Which is great.
Which is what we should be doing all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, really. So
just to really put a fine point on it, that state statute that says you can only carry forward 10% is kind of not in line with the way that Petersburg likes to be super, super fiscally conservative. It won't allow you to be as fiscally conservative as you want to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Association of Alaska School Boards, we have tried for years we have a list of things that, so when the legislature says, what's your opinion as a school board association on something? And years ago, Petersburg suggested 20%. And the association settled at 15. So for several years now, we've asked the legislator, can you at least bump it to 15? And they ignore it every year. Mm, but it is out there.
No,
they just don't pick anything up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's just, you know, to know that as an association in general, it's not just Petersburg complaining about it. It's our whole association has come to terms with the fact, or has presented that over and over to the legislature. If you're going to look at this, this is what we suggest. Mm-hmm. This is what we'd like to see.
Okay.
I remember the discussion was they didn't think there was no way they could get the legislator to agree to 20%. So they're like, well, it's come somewhere between 10 and 20 and settled out at 15.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So
then
how do, I know you have a bunch of grants that you're managing this year. How do grants come into the equation for the budget?
I think the advantage of having grants obviously is like this year, a lot of it, then it can replace some of the funding that we normally might spend on professional development, for example, like that huge literacy grant that we received is funding all kinds of, conference travel, and also, will provide some compensation for all of our teachers who are required by law with no funding, our K-3 teachers and our specialists to, take very extensive certification courses. The courses themselves were paid for, but the time that goes into them is anywhere between 150 and 170 hours for those courses over the course of an entire year. That's a massive time commitment, and there is no funding attached to that. So that's a lot. I don't know any business that requires that amount of training.
Free labor is what it is.
Exactly. So that's on top of a teaching day. That's outside the school day. So for example, that's something we're planning to do with that grant. So we're doing that in our district, but if you don't have a grant, other districts aren't doing that. They're not paying their teachers for that. So, or their other staff. So it helps fill some gaps. It's not a long term, like these are things that hopefully we're going to get everybody certified this year and then we don't have to do that again. And so that's a good thing for lots of reasons, but we won't have that grant next year, because it's a 1 year. So that's how we try to utilize those. We try not to utilize those to fund too many people, especially if they're not consistent. grants?
Meaning new staff.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to put too many people in those because if they're not reliable and stable and they're not longer than 1 year, then what do you do?
The grant.
Yeah. The grant.
Person.
The grant. Yeah. Thank you.
Just to clarify.
The people are stable. The grant funding is not. Thank you.
Someone could twist that.
That's a good clarification. Honestly, that's a great clarification. As the darkness ensues. Oh my gosh, that's funny. So I mean, I would definitely say it's a way to offset some of those other things that you really want to do. They're not necessarily always sustainable. Mm-hmm. So I think the advantage that we have right now in our district is we're poised because we did have also an increase in student numbers, which also adds to the revenue that mm-hmm. we're bringing in, which is a great position for us to be in because it allows us, A, to carry forward something we should be carrying forward, but also to potentially look at what we actually need. We're a district that tends to, you retire, somebody else picks it up. You retire, somebody else picks it up. Somebody moves, somebody else picks it up. We don't necessarily replace, and we very seldom add back. So we are at a position now where there are very specific and real needs that need to be filled. There are HR needs that need to be filled. Grant management itself is massive. Very few agencies our size or school districts or even smaller districts have people that's all they do. They manage grants. They write grants. They manage grants. There's a huge amount of work that goes into that. That's just us doing it, you know. So there are needs and there are, you know, risks to not having somebody that really all they do is focus on HR. The board has talked about it for several years. You know, it's a massive job. I mean, checking references, making sure people are where they need to be, doing all the things, taking care of all the paperwork. I mean, it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. So there are holes. Definitely came out of strategic planning that multiple times, and Sarah referenced this last month, mental health needs have to be addressed, and we do not have enough supports in place for students, staff, families. We just don't in our community, even in our world. We don't have enough. So, I mean, those are positions I think that have to be discussed and potentially funded. And yeah.
When does the discussion about those positions being created and filled, when does that discussion happen?
Well, we had some of it at that board budget work session after the last board meeting, just kind of, you know, no decisions can be made during a work session, but it was more to ask questions about what the staff felt like the needs were, what they were seeing, because, you know, we're not there on a day-to-day basis, so we do defer a lot to staff, especially superintendent, to tell us where are the holes and what are the priorities, and I think some of it came out of that, what those needs are, even just parental feedback of what they feel, you know, might be what their perception, or both very realistic, and then also some staff just... You ask them because you're standing there in the grocery store, you know, and they're happy to, you know, share what they think might work best. But mental health is a huge one. And I think there might be some pushback from some community members because, well, they didn't have it when I was in school. It's like the needs have changed. I think we can clearly see that. They didn't have social media when I was a child. There's a whole element to that that the data shows that affects kids' mental health. None of us went through a pandemic when we were a child. You know, there's just certain things, and then we're dealing with drug addiction that did not exist when I was a kid. There was drug addiction, but not to the extent and danger that our kids are either dealing with in their own home, whether it's their parents or siblings or whatever. So the needs have changed so much that we need to adapt to the kids instead of asking the kids to necessarily adapt to the old way of how we manage things. And schools have been asked to do more and more and more. And the only one who loses is the kids.
Yeah.
You know, people grumble about paying more, but I think, you know what? It just goes back to that kid is not, you know, if we spend enough money on one kid and that saves that kid, then that was worth every single dollar, that the benefit outweigh the cost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I think as we move toward that, that's what needs to be reminded for people that aren't as dialed into that need. You know, you might have a kid that never needs that help at the school. Great. But they also may never need math help, you know, but the math teacher is still there. You know, it just because your child may not need it doesn't mean that there aren't other kids that really do need it. So, and that's what we are. We're a social system that provides a social service at no cost to the student.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to remember that as we move toward figuring out where best to spend the money and what the highest needs are.
I agree.
And now I'll step down off my soapbox.
No, I think that encapsulates it perfectly. These are our kids. These are the people we live with, you know, mm-hmm. So all of our kids deserve the same sorts of supports and access. And if one kid's struggling, then it's worth it to find them what they need. So I think those will be part of the discussion tonight and moving forward as well. There are needs. So there's personnel needs. There's also other mm-hmm. capital fund needs. There's transportation needs. I mean, all the stuff that's not as interesting to talk about, but it has to be done. A roof makes a difference. If you don't have a roof that's working, you kind of can't have kids in a building. So
Right.
All right. Well, we are going to shift gears a little bit and talk about personnel, because Dino Brock is retiring. He will no longer be teaching or coaching, rather, girls basketball.
Yes, he's still teaching.
Sorry. He is teaching. He is no longer coaching girls basketball. And I hear that an interim coach and assistant coach have been hired. Mm-hmm. Has that been announced already?
Yes, it's on the personnel action form for tonight. That process was just completed this weekend with the activity director and principal and a committee. And so the assistant coach has been applied for the position, and he'll be the interim coach. So that's Matt Powick will be the interim head coach this year. And Jolene Norman, who teaches in the elementary school, she's new to us. She was an assistant basketball coach up north in her previous district, and she applied. And so she will also be an interim for this year. And then the positions will be posted again in the spring for the following year. So.
All right. I was excited to see that Jolie Norman was hired as assistant coach, because when I interviewed her when she first got here, she said one of the reasons she was so excited to move to Petersburg and teach was because as assistant coach for Unalaska, she had come with her team here and she had seen the enthusiasm here in Petersburg about basketball. And she just, she loves basketball. And she's like, I want to live in a town where people like basketball that much. So I was glad to hear that.
Oh, I missed that on her interview. Oh, neat.
And then I heard that you had a high school math teacher, and then you something happened there, and so Bev Sirks will be continuing on as the long-term math substitute.
That's where we are. We are still in negotiations, possibly with one of the long-term sub positions that we were hoping to bring to town. I think Mr. King's actually working on another possibility this afternoon. So we're just going to keep working on it. And Bev is just such a trooper, and she's hanging in there with us. So
she's going to enjoy that retirement when she gets
back.
I know,
she really is.
Is there a shortage of math teachers? Just in general.
Shortage of teachers in general, and certainly in highly specialized specific content areas. A lot math teachers are, you can go to work to lots of other places with a math degree and make a lot more money. So trying to find people with that.
And usually better retirement.
And often better retirement. So so it's pretty hard. So I think that a lot of districts are having to do a lot of different creative things. It was something we didn't want to have to start going down the road of really doing a lot more of the remote type teaching or providing courses in that way. But districts are doing it all over the state.
Wow.
I mean, Fairbanks is doing it. I mean, we're not alone. Every conference I go to, every meeting I'm on, I'm like, okay, who's got a math teacher in their back pocket? You know, and
nobody has one.
No.
Not even my sister.
Is this higher level high school math, or is it high school math in general?
Math in general, but certainly in this particular position, also just the upper level math. So it's been, this is our world right now. It's the colleges are not graduating kids that are going into teaching. It's a crisis.
Do you have a sense of why that is?
I think many of the reasons we just said, and I think also just overall, teaching is hard work. It is very hard work. It is very draining. It is, it's the most wonderful field to go into in so many ways. It's gratifying, and it can just fill your soul, and then it can also just exhaust you. You know, I mean, it's very hard work. And there are a lot of challenges facing our kids right now. I mean, our kids and our families. We have a lot of kids who are struggling. We have a lot of families who are struggling. We continue to have more layers of bureaucracy and requirements that come down that take you away from teaching sometimes. And that gets old for people. I think it's, you know, it's hard. I think to be blunt, parents can be challenging. A lot of things happen in, you know, that are stressful. They're hard. And I think people don't necessarily always take the most civilized route of communication. I'm not saying that we're perfect either in our school world. You know, nothing's perfect, but challenges. Yeah, it's a hard field. It's a hard field. And yeah, salaries have not kept up and retirement systems change. And people, I would say COVID may have tipped people even further over the edge with that, but it was not just a COVID issue. It's not just
a COVID. Happening before that,
too. It's not just a COVID issue.
Yeah.
I think, like, just even thinking back to my own, when I was a child, if I misbehaved and the teacher had to call my parents for whatever reason, most of the time, you know, my parents didn't doubt the teacher on my behavior, where I think it's very much flipped that. The assumption is that the child didn't do anything wrong. So you get it. I mean, I just think of, like, work environments and how what a teacher may be putting up with or working with or dealing with compared to maybe what I'm dealing with. Those dynamics can be different. But also, I remember one teacher explaining, and they're a grade school teacher, which I thought is probably even more prevalent in the grade school. It's like putting on a birthday party for 6 hours every single day. You know, trying to keep track of a group of kids who have a variety of different, you know, energy levels and expectations, and what are we going to do, you know? And then, wow, that didn't go as well as I thought, so now we got to do this in place. So I just thought, trying to envision that for 9 months of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes a very specific kind of person.
It does, you know, and I know I'm not made from that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, but I think you play into some of those things, and then just that, is it worth it?
Sometimes
with retirement, the stress is just, you know, and I can understand that, you know, not every job is ideal for everybody, but it is hard and it has been happening for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there are two other action items on the agenda tonight. And I want to just check in and see if you wanted to highlight anything in either of those. One is that the 2024-25 school calendar is going to be mostly the same, but spring break will be a week earlier. We are talking about more than a year away, so I don't know if that's something that really needs to be discussed at length. And then there are some fall policy updates as recommended by the Alaska Association of School Boards. And I wanted to check in with you about that as well. Anything of note there?
I don't think really of note. I mean, most of the updates were either just recommended because there were either statute changes or the School Boards Association had made the recommendation. Couple of new policies around the READS Act, which we already had everything in place in the district. So it really was just kind of codifying what's already needing to be done because it's now in statute. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Sarah, did you have any other thoughts about any of those?
Mostly. And I think, like, with the school calendar, we usually talk about that a little bit later in the year, but I think it was just kind of like, we can figure this out now. Let's just check it off our list of to do, because you still have to submit it to the Department of Education. So if we can get it, you know, it's essentially, like you said, it's very close to what we're doing this year. It's just everything's shifted by a week.
Mm-hmm. Everything or just
no, the just break? The spring break. Sorry. Okay. Sorry. I don't want to panic people. We're going into June or starting too early in August. No, just spring break. And it, some of it was, I think, an activity. Is it state? Basketball, just kind of trying to, working around some of those activities makes sense.
And testing, there's state requirements and things like that. Like, there's certain things you sort of can't do because you get too far in, then you have to have a certain amount of time before state testing starts and a certain time during, a certain time after. So then you start to get into that in April. So it kind of becomes not a ton of options. So
It
seems to be one that's worked pretty well. So
And then lastly, there is a student presentation by the middle school robotics team. And I have to say, I don't think I've seen a presentation like this yet. I'm excited to see one. Can you tell me a little bit about what this robotics team competition, what they were doing in Juneau?
So this is Bo Ward and Dustin Crump are the advisors for it. And it's a middle school group. We've done it, I think, like 5 years, I feel like, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, Alex was in it, so it's at least before that.
Yeah, so they typically, it's, I mean, they do coding and they build robots, and then, but they have to solve a problem. Like, there's usually, every year there's sort of a theme or a problem that they have to solve. And so usually, I mean, like 1 year, this one I think is actually focused on art, to be honest. And I don't know all the details. We'll find out tonight, but maybe it's on there.
New ways to create and communicate art around the world.
That's it. And then 1 year they had a thing where they had to design. It was all about kind of had to do with like food sources and, you know, so they kind of give you a broad topic, and then they'll challenge the kids to do whatever it is, you know, and so they have to build and design and create, and there's writing involved and there's presentation involved, and it's kind of a whole encompassing.
It's very comprehensive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're building these little Lego robots, but then they have to have a whole presentation.
Well, and sometimes they're large. Yeah.
Sometimes they're not little simple Lego robots.
No, they take up quite a bit of this.
Yeah. There's a whole table. They run them on a table. And
yeah. It's pretty neat.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
That sounds really interesting. And I think that are these some of the same kids who are then participating in these robotics workshops that are being held with the Petersburg Public Library?
Oh, they might be. I don't know. Probably.
I can't imagine they wouldn't be, because it's a pretty enthusiastic group.
Yeah. They had a series. I think maybe they have one again this week at the library, where it was for, I believe, first through fifth graders. And then they had some of the kids from the team. I took my daughter to one, and she was like, "I'm going to make a robot that cleans the house." And I was like,
"Yay.
You go do that."
Well, that's right. You get on that, girl.
Obviously, it was not that complex. But yeah, they had some of the team members there teaching all of these younger kids to do the coding
that's
and
great.
The building. So
that's great. And they just went this weekend to their competition. So they're fresh off of it.
Just came back.
Sounds like they learned a lot. They were things they thought they did well. And there were other things that they were like, ooh, we could do a lot better. That's great though. You know, you go to a competition and you go, oh, I guess I probably should have put a little more time into this part of it. So it was good.
And it looks like on the agenda that presentation is early on in the meeting. So if you're not necessarily going to listen to the whole school board meeting, but you want to hear from these kids, you can tune in at 6, and that's one of the very first things.
Yeah, come in and watch.
Yeah.
Oh, right. It is open to the public.
That's right.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. So, yeah, it's more visual than probably audio for one thing, but I would say.
Yeah
so that's it. Come in for 10 minutes and watch
6 p.m. in the middle and high school library. And you know, those front doors are now locked, so if people want to come in, how do they get into the building?
It's open for the
meeting. Okay. Excellent to know. All right, well, thank you guys so much for joining me.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you.